Hey, it's Friday the 11th. This is 2011. And, well, listen, you got to watch your heart. You got to watch your own character. You got to watch your emotions in the midst of everything that's going on all around us. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. And tonight is the last part of a series we've been doing this week based on Gregoruo, a Greek word out of Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and out of 1 Peter chapter 5. It's the word we get alert or to watch. It's to be incorporated in our walk as believers in Christ. Look for the impending danger. Look for the impending danger. Be spiritually alert. Have eyes that are lit up by the Spirit of God and lit up by the knowledge of the Word of God. Well, again, welcome to all those listening by satellite, by internet radio, and we're just glad that thousands of you download later on during the week. Love to hear from many of you from all over the world, and we want you to know that God's able to reach you right now where you're at. While you're listening, the prayer is, this hour would be a supernatural hour of grace, of mercy, and of the love of God coming to you. That would include the authority and power of God, of Christ, to destroy anything of the dark side, regardless of how masqueraded it is, so that our eyes would be open to God, to Christ, and that we would know Him. So I hope you're saved. And I hope that those who are saved and growing in depth, power, and influence, that you're gaining ground. That's what it's about tonight. We did Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and now the impending dangers of Matthew 24. You know what it includes? Now, we have our eyes on the Antichrist, on the Great Revolt, on the Abyss opening, on Wormwood, on so many things. But what about everything that Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, in the Scripture? Do you remember everything that was spoken there? How about where he talks about lives that can grow cold? We'll take a look at it tonight in just a little bit. Want to bring a news item to your mind, and it is pretty horrific. Yes, everybody's talking about it, I think. The tsunami, it says deadly tsunami spawns apocalyptic scenes. Did you hear that? Apocalyptic scenes. If you have seen the pictures in Japan, what is now a 8.9 on the Richter scale? And it's a magnitude, and it has struck Japan. And I'm looking at a picture where there are gigantic ships that have been just washed up on shore, washed back out of the ocean, back onto the shore, just sitting sideways. I'm looking at another picture in Yamada, a town where it seems like the entire town is on fire. Unbelievable, and well, there's a lot of pictures out there with it all, and it is something to behold, to see. Well, again, as Jesus says right there in Matthew 24, concerning the earthquakes in the end of days. Now, I know we've always had some, but they've been, they've been coming with a rapid pace and broader and stronger and just many all over the place. So, again, what Jesus said about the very end of days involves earthquakes, and here we're looking at it in our faces, and obviously those dear people in Japan are experiencing it. It is really, as they say in this article, apocalyptic, as you view it. But Jesus mentions in Matthew 24, and I'm going to say because of the impending dangers and all of the items put together that are described, that define the end of days, that give the exact sign of the end of days, are listed in Matthew 24. You know what one of those are? You ever read verse 9, Matthew 24? Matthew 24, verse 9, simply tells us this. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations. Once again, that critical mass worldwide as Luciferic globalism rises. Believers, those who have the Spirit of God indwelling them, they're going to be hated by all nations. Nations, watch out. Nations, leaders, kings of the earth. You will either go down in the flames of Luciferic globalism, Revelation 19:20, or you may open the gates to God to operate in your nation. Your nation does not have to give itself over to the dogs. Well, that's defined in the book of Revelation. You can check it out. But hatred by all nations because of the name of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine that? Worldwide global hatred in the air, in the sentiment, in the conversation, in the emotion, in what some would call that collective unconscious, that conscious universe. Well, that is literally, as Jesus says, it'll be in the hearts and minds of people. Nations gonna hate believers in Christ because of Christ. We're talking about the real Christ. Now, verse 10 says, and then many will be offended. A lot of believers walking around offended all the time. I mean, they're so impacted that the least thing said to them, they're offended. Constantly becoming the victims. Maybe they don't understand that spiritual warfare, even when the enemy piggybacks off of other individuals to attack you, you don't understand it's not against flesh and blood. It talks about how some will betray one another and hate one another. Verse 12 is where I want you to focus today. And because of, listen, and because lawlessness will abound, the wickedness, the evil, because lawlessness, wickedness, evil will abound, the love of most will grow cold. The love of most will grow cold. Going to talk to you about that tonight in the context of the final message in the theme this week. It starts off with that call by the Spirit of God to incorporate into your life. And by, listen, not only reading the word, believing it, putting it into practice, you expand your spiritual life. You expand your spiritual ability. You literally grow. You're gaining ground and depth and power and influence can follow when you do that. But it involves, again, not just the looking at, but again, the putting into practice. That's all what James chapter 1 is about, really is, putting it into practice. See, believers out there in Christ, real believers with the Spirit of God, like the Corinthian church, could be half-baked, carnal. Not spiritual, but carnal, like the world. Or like Sardis, the church where Jesus said, you're once alive, but now you're dead. Once alive, but now you're dead. Could you imagine the Savior speaking that to the lives of spiritual leaders, the lives of pastors and leaders of churches and whole congregations? Once alive, now dead. How about to the church of Ephesus? Look at the height from which you've fallen. You've lost your first love. See, it's possible for believers to lose ground, to lose spiritual depth, spiritual power, and spiritual influence. And what about Laodicea? Everybody uses the term, but it's not the only thing. A church in which Jesus had to say, in their self-diagnosis, they're doing all right. But Jesus said they were poor, blind, pitiful, naked. I mean, just absolutely ready to be spit out of the mouth of Christ violently. It's pretty amazing. And that's why every believer needs to stay. Listen, we're going to talk about spiritual depth, spiritual power, spiritual influence, then gaining ground. But it's all in the context of this one principle. Alert, being watchful of the impending dangers. Remember Peter? He didn't understand what was going on. How about the Ephesians when the Spirit of God says, hey, your warfare, the things coming against you, not flesh and blood, here's the real things. Here's what we do about it. You want to walk in the manifest presence and power and strength of God. Put on the full armor of God and leave it on. It's in the imperative. We're commanded as believers. It's part of our discipleship. You want spiritual armament? You want to let greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world literally be manifest in your life? Well, then you've got to take action. You don't want to be half-baked like the Corinthians. You don't want to grow dead like they did at Sardis. You don't want to lose your first love. You don't want to stay the same. You don't want to just sit there. You don't want to just acquire all the information of all the evil and all the stuff that's going on. The only thing that I get when I'm engaging evil, observing it, watching it, looking at it, and so forth, well, it's a radical response, wanting and desiring to be close to the Savior, to live in the power of God, to see the influence and what can be done. What can be done in the midst of it to the very last day? That's what's vital. So watch out, impending danger. There is possibilities that believers, because of the tribulation times and because of the rise, because of the events that will break out, because literally, verse 12, out of the words of the Lord Jesus' mouth, and because of lawlessness is going to abound, wickedness is going to abound. Me, a lot of it, yes. And, you know, if all we do is sit back on our porch talking about all the wickedness out there, talking about all the evil out there, talking about everything that's going bad out there, and that's all we do, then we haven't taken it to heart. The whole context. We haven't taken all of it to heart. Jesus is giving the warning ahead of time. Because of all these events, all this wickedness, all this lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. And so may the Spirit of God speak to all of us. Those that are believers in Christ, right where you are, has the love of God. You know, that committed, that compelling, that love of God described and defined in Corinthians 13. Described as the motivating factor of God's love for the world in John 3:16. Paul says it's that love that compels him, sends him out into the world to continue to be a missionary and to reach everybody. It leads him to sacrifice. It leads him to dedication. It leads him to spiritual discipline. It leads him, that love motivates him to do everything he can, including, you ever read in Jude? It tells us to build ourselves up in our most holy faith, praying in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God. The world, the flesh, and the devil, and end time events will bite away at that. Chip away at it, and if we allow it, it's very possible. Think about it now on a scale of 1 to 10. Has all the things, lawlessness, all the end time events, and that which is about to come and break out, has it led you to grow more in depth, power, and influence? Are you gaining ground in Christ? Or have you grown cold? Once alive, dead. Can you imagine it? A believer in whom the Spirit of God dwells, and there is the blood of Christ, the authority, the love of God, the availability of the throne of grace. But yet the believer shuts up their lives in the midst of lawlessness, wickedness, end time events, and grows cold. Grows cold. Not about to witness to anybody. Barely can be able to pray. Probably the prayers are only for self-preservation. Well, we're going to talk about how we can detect that. It's okay. It's okay, like Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and see if there is any offensive way in me. Don't stop there. It goes on. And then lead me in the way of everlasting. I mean, we want God to bring deep, broad, clear conviction that leads to change, repentance, metanoia. You want to get out of it? Then we have to allow ourselves to hear the Spirit of God. Can you hear the Spirit of God speaking to you? Well, that's going to be a vital point tonight. And let me say to those that are Wiccan, those that are pagan, those that are New Ager, those that even come to Recon the shows, that, yeah, you know what, the end of days, because of the, well, the dark side's pinnacle of manifesting into the world, destabilizing and breaking down and bringing all of the counterfeit and bringing that critical mass of Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, the hatred for Christ, the hatred for those who love him. The temptation will be for believers themselves to be pushed into a corner and grow cold. Can I ask you something? If you know anybody that's grown cold, if you've ever grown cold, if you're cold right now, cold, anything happening there? I think there's a lot of fear in the midst of that cold heart. I think there's a lot of fear. I think there's a lot of criticism. A cold heart can know a lot about the end days, but a cold heart won't do anything, well, Christ-like about it. On the notes, if you have it, shatterthedarkness.net. If you're brand new, this is Russ Dizdar. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And on the web, there are literally hundreds of MP3s. I want to mention to you right now, too, that we do have an ongoing course that just begun. We're a little behind because of the flood. And listen, finally, the insurance man shows up today after almost two full weeks. And the insurance guy shows up while I'm out with a friend at lunch and is here for about 30 minutes and is out of here. We don't know anything. And so we're going to wait. So we've got to adapt and we've got to do what we need to do. But we're just letting you know that we're a little behind on what we're getting out there. So the Book of Acts Field Manual for the End of Days, many of you that are newer can get a hold of that and begin to listen. There's download PDF file, you know, notes and so forth. So we hope that's going to be a great thing for a lot of believers in Christ. Also, I will say this again because of my discussions yesterday on the telephone, my engagement with others across the nation, because of the, and I'm sitting there today even at lunch with a great brother from that I've known for over 35 years. We got saved in the same week. And we're talking about end time events. And he came from a great biblical prophetic prophecy teacher, Dr. Bell, down in Texas. Not the one on TV, but he's deep and broad and good in all of biblical prophetic information. So we're sitting there at lunch talking about Nephilim, talking about the end of days, talking about the movie we just saw. I just saw the movie Battle LA and going to do a 1 hour response to it. Once again, like Skyline, like War of the Worlds, something is coming down upon the earth. Very much like we find in Revelation 9 about the abyss, how these entities come down upon the earth. Well, there's catastrophic things going to come, and movies are showing the world, and there's an expectancy. I mean, there's real expectancy in the world that catastrophic events. Now, the New Age hopes that by its counterfeit spiritual engagement, prophecies, and abilities, they're going to be able to stop this. They want to stop Armageddon. They want to participate in the spiritual evolution of humanity, which involves getting rid of a couple billion people because they don't comply with the spirit of Antichrist. They've got a different agenda that is literally empowering that evolution of satanic presence and the events that come. So if you're listening right now, let me ask the question, what spirit operates in your life? What spiritual presence? I know the Spirit of God leads you to the living Christ. To be born of the Spirit of God means that He dwells inside of you, that you know Him by experience. I've got a great verse to share with you today about that very experiential side of knowledge. It is a spiritual experience in our life. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at the word gnosko. We're the Gnostic, you know, the idea of the Gnostics in the first few hundred years, and there's the modern development of Gnostics today, denying the deity of Christ, salvation, and plunging into the finite dark spirit's alternative. Constant search, constant development, constant evolution, constant incremental approach, but never getting to God. Why? Here it is again. Dark spirits, no matter how they masquerade, cannot and will not lead you to God. They will lead you farther from Him. Not into personal relationship with the living Christ, but into all kinds of experiences that preoccupy and distract, and ultimately would love to drag your soul to hell. And I would say back, but there's no coming back. On the notes that we have, the last of the notes, page 6, I'm mentioning to you right now, spiritual depth, spiritual power, spiritual influence. So in the midst of impending dangers, now Monday night I dealt with every believer in Christ needs to be spiritually aware of spiritual warfare and knowing the world, the flesh, and the devil, and how it all operates, and how you live in victory and strength and in the manifested, feelable, knowable, and even others around you experiencing God's presence emanating from your life in Christ. You ever see the book of Acts? 11 times it talks about spirit-filled people. Not only were they spirit-filled and you know, highly active, and that's where all the action of God was being demonstrated and manifesting in and through their lives. They were literally helping change lives and cities and nations. But let me tell you something, as you look at that and you see that, it's very clear that even in the impending dangers of their days, as they stayed obedient, they stayed on fire, they stayed, bringing the influence. And there's no question that folks, and especially demonized folks, knew who they were. You get an individual that is saturated with God's presence and filled, is the Greek word, filled, pleru, filled with the presence of the Spirit of God. Now, we read about this fullness of God as Paul prays, it's the will of God. We can read about it in Ephesians 3 when Paul is praying, kneeling, and out of God's riches, seeking that God would strengthen us by the power, dunamis, of the Spirit in the inner man. For Christ to dwell in us experientially, to know the love of God that surpasses just knowledge. And there's a hina clause. It means with the result that, or if you can say it this way, for the purpose that we would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. That we would be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Now that's quite different than growing cold. The will of God be filled to the full of the fullness of God. And that is an enormous blessing and privilege, and it is the will of God, and every believer listening right now or later on down the road, may it be so in your life, just as was prayed there, Ephesians 3. May you be strengthened right now by the power, dunamis of the Spirit of God, so Christ dwell alive inside of you. You see, Spirit-filled, Spirit-clothed individuals in the book of Acts, in experience of history now, they are literally, they are really close to, in experience, Christ. They're Christ-centered, worshiping, praying. Jesus, it seems like, is on their heart, their mind, their life, and seen in them and brought through them. Well, that's what we're going to talk about in the context of impending danger and the warning that many will grow cold because of it. You and I need to, in the context of all the massive events, Talk about Nephilim, talk about conspiracy, talk about, you know, Antichrist and all the other things all you want, but don't grow cold. That's the call of the Spirit of God. Let me say it this way. You don't have to, and by the will of God, you're not supposed to. And the Spirit of God would summon all of us to the truth of the warning that it's possible to grow cold, of the promises of God that you don't have to. Nobody has to. It's not a necessity. Just because Jesus foretells that many will doesn't mean you can't get out of it by realizing how you've responded. If you respond to all the bad things going on in your life negatively each time, guess what happens? Your character will develop just like that. A negative person, every bad happening, you're the victim. You're going to cower down. You're going to go backwards. You're going to go to the corner. You're going to grow cold. You're going to blame shift to everybody else. There you are. And I'm going to say this, and only because this is the image I've get in my... Listen, the image in my mind is simply... You know, sometimes when a child gets angry and mad and goes to the corner, who are you mad at? What are you angry over? What wounds do you have that you need to look at instead of allowing them to fester or just band-aiding over that you need to have it healed by your Savior and the power and presence of the Spirit of God, and then know how to live out your... Listen, I want you to hear this real clearly. Every time you're encountering Scripture, every time you're putting it into practice, you're growing stronger. Your spiritual life is expanding. You're getting greater spiritual capacity and ability. And when God tells us in James, count it pure joy when you face many tribulation, many pressures and trials, because you know that the testing of your faith is going to develop, listen, is going to develop perseverance, which is the biblical perseverance is the believer standing up, praising God, going forward. It's the idea of kind of a developing, heroic spiritual life. Perseverance doesn't grow cold. It doesn't mean that you sit in the corner. It doesn't mean that you just grin and bear it. That's not what it means at all. Perseverance in the biblical context means that you're moving forward, singing those hymns, praising God, continuing to move, not giving in to the pressure of the flesh or the world or the devil himself. And as you're persevering, you're expanding your life with the result, James chapter 1, check it out, that the permanent character of your life is becoming stronger, impenetrable. That's right. We're told this in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15. You know, be men of courage, and believers of courage, and immovable. Spiritually impenetrable. And the only way that's going to happen is if you grow in depth and you grow in power and you grow in influence and you're gaining ground. And I'm going to say that all of that is possible, necessary, and it is the will of God. It is the summons of the Spirit. It is what Christ came to give us, not just to forgive us, but to empower us to live. And to live well even in the end of days. And if you have to go out of this world at some point, go out like a spiritual, Christ-honoring hero and not a closet, cold, whimpering, spiritual anemic. A lot of silence there. And you know that I don't mean to come and speak against a life or just to scream words. I think you know right now the Spirit of God is operative and He speaks to me as I speak like this. If you got your notes tonight, believers in Christ, this 1 hour is primarily for you, and I want you to know that number one, no matter how horrible and wicked and lawless and demonic and bad and immoral the world gets, we should never use it as an excuse to deny the incredible living Christ dwelling within. The greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world in 1 John 4. Of the incredible power, grace, might of God. It is all about how we respond. And it's vital that if we're going to be into looking deep into the bloody guts and vomit of evil, then you better know what it is to worship, to walk in the power of God, to get in the Word of God, and to keep yourself in the love of God. You see, in the early days, a lot of times believers rely upon the fact everybody loves them. They love being loved, love being hugged, love being spoken to well, love being loved by others. But what if there's others? What if those others have gone away? Ultimately, it's the love of God. It could be like Bonhoeffer in a Nazi German jail waiting to be killed because of his opposition to Hitler. And it's the love of God that sustains. It's the love of God. God loves you. God doesn't leave you. You read Romans 8. Wrap those words around your mind, your spirit, your soul, your being. Nothing in all creation. Nothing in all creation, it tells us. We're more than conquerors, more than triumphant victors in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Not the angels, not the demons, nothing. Look what God says. In all of creation, nothing can separate you from God's love for you in Christ. You center into that factor. You look at 1 John and you take a look again in chapters 3 and 4. You look, see how great love the Father has lavished upon us. You're loved right now, believer. I don't care if it's other people that don't love you. God loves you. There's where you're to strengthen yourself. You're not going to have everybody love you. And in the growing Luciferic age, and in the events that are about to occur, as Jesus warned, Matthew 24, you see, all of it needs to be taken in. Not just the wars, rumors of wars, not even just the spiritual deception. But what that global presence, disposition, activity, what that has the possibility of doing. It's possible in the midst of all of it to grow cold. You know, I was involved in law enforcement and I've been taken on cases and things and saw slides of blood and guts and killings and murders and satanic crimes and saw all kinds of stuff. It is enough to make you vomit. It is enough to make you sick. It is enough. And I've never gotten out of my head the picture of the little girl, the girl's head, the pink head. If you read the book, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going into it. But it's the picture of radical evil. And instead of growing cold, I want to fight. I want to fight like heaven. I want to do the will of God, and I want to be smart. What's best? Where does God unleash his presence, power, grace, might? What is God's mission? What is God's best? I love Isaiah 48. You can read a verse there. Talks about the Lord your God being your Redeemer who teaches you what is best and then leads you in the way you should go. 48, 17, 18, Isaiah 48. Spiritual depth, number one, let me give it here clearly. Spiritual depth is always centered in Christ. It is always about him. In him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Look at Christ on the cross again and again and again through your hardest of times where people have rejected you, where things didn't go right, where you feel burned out, where you feel you've been defeated, where you feel guilty, where you feel powerless and fearful and all the rest. You look back up at that cross. You look back at that Savior. You look at the one who came to conquer for you. He didn't do it for himself. He did it for you. You and I were the sinner. You and I were the lost ones. You and I were destined for hell because of our choice. But the Redeemer has entered in. God has entered in. And if you're listening and you're born of the Spirit of God, whatever your condition, possible that you might be, some of you, backslidden. And you know what? A lot of, listen, when I did bar ministry into a biker bar with the Outlaws, I mean, we'd go right in there and witness. And then another one with, there was a biker group connected to the Hell's Angels that came in there. Teach theology for 3 hours on a Friday night, and then we took a team, prayed up into a local biker rock and roll bar. All the drugs and drinking and partying and everybody screaming, and I would wear different clothes going in there because when I would get home at 3 or 4 in the morning, all of the smell on those clothes, I couldn't take them into the house. Can I tell you something that's really weird about that evangelistic endeavor that we had? We did it for a couple of years straight. We saw people come to Christ. We saw people delivered. We saw people, you know, encountered. We sit down there at the bar. Now listen, the only reason we go in was to witness. I have no business going in to sit around. The only reason to go in was to carry Christ. The fragrance, you're going to hear me say this in a big way tonight. Here's your verse, and I want this to be the word of hope for you today, 2 Corinthians 2:14. I'm going to lay it out pretty heavy. But going into that bar, going into that place, and there, and like the one we did in Cannes, the one we did in Akron, either one of those places that we did this at. You know what we did? Many times we met backslidden believers. One believer saw me in the bar, and though we always went in with a team, 4, 5, 6, 7 people, and kind of just span out the bar, you know what happened? Someone would see me come and say, grab me, Pastor Russ, because they knew I was a pastor of a local church, and one of the churches the whole town knew. It was always in the paper because of what we were doing. And Pastor Russ, what are you doing in the bar? What are you doing here? And I'd look right at him. With all of my heart, I'd say, I'm searching for you. You see, God does send believers out. You ever read the last two verses of James 5? There are those that have wandered, maybe even in this radio broadcast, a believer in Russia, a believer in Czech Republic, a believer in France, a believer in England, a believer there in Canada. Maybe there are those believers that have wandered away. You've grown cold. And you've rationalized it. You've even believed the enemy's lies because you've repeated it so many times. And it's defeated you. You feel guilty. And you can barely listen. But the Spirit of grace, the kindness of God would lead you to repentance and lead you out of that. Yeah, God has to awaken us. You know, He's got to confront us. Thou art the man. That's what God needs to tell us. Listen, every time we try to hide our sins, no change is possible. Every time you try to hide your sin, justify your fleshliness, justify what you've gotten into, justify your coldness, justify your bitterness, change is impossible. You've grieved the Spirit of God. You've shut Him down in His operating presence within. You've quenched the fire of the Spirit of God to make you a brilliant, beautiful, Christ-like witness to a dying, hell-bound world. Spiritual depth is needed to protect you through it all. And that means constantly staying in obedience. Let me tell you what I believe spiritual depth is all about. Loving Christ, giving your life to Christ, looking at Him again and again, seeing His example, reading Hebrews 12, who for the joy set before Him, He scorned the shame of the cross. We're to run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We're not to let anything entangle us. Spiritual depth, Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that the eyes of our heart, the capacities inside of us to see and discern and to know, the eyes of our heart would be enlightened by the Spirit of God, of course, that we might know Christ, epigenosis, to the full experience. And may the Spirit of God enlighten the eyes of your heart, the inside of you, epigenosis is what I would pray, that you would know Christ in fullness and in power, that you would be enamored with the author and perfecter of your faith, he who has never left you, he who has never forsaken you, he who knows what it is to be rejected, wounded, spit upon, and slaughtered as an innocent. He rose from the dead. And it's the power of that resurrection that dwells within you. It is the living Christ who has never walked away from you, never forsook you. You take the word of God and you bind it to your heart and experience the truth of God. You love Jesus Christ. You stand for Jesus Christ. You stand up and you declare your praise. You speak out the word of God. You renounce all the things that have been used as excuses. That's the flesh. You renounce the lies of the enemy. You renounce the world as it tries to suck even believers into its patterns. Spiritual depth is found in Christ. Spiritual depth is found in our relationship. Spiritual depth, that's where the love and the healing and the grace and the might and the ability to grow and to be awed by the Savior. It's God that lives in me. It's a Savior that has never left me. Talk about spiritual depth, growing in Christ. Now that you've tasted, new believers, it tells us this in the book of Peter, now that you've tasted the Lord is good, grow up in your salvation, in your experience in Christ. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Grow. And right now, grow. We need to grow like we've never grown before. We really do. But it includes how you respond to the things that are going on and have gone in your life. Don't let anything make you the victim. Don't listen to the lie of the devil that you're allowed to be just sucking your thumb, sitting in the corner and being the victim. You're not to be a spiritual wimp. You're not to be spiritually incapacitated. You're not to be spiritually broken down and anemic and weak and broken and defeated. That is not the will of God, Christian. So may the Spirit of God summon the sons and daughters of God in Christ. Let me mention spiritual power with the 17 minutes we have left tonight. Spiritual power. Talk about power. Listen, the New Age talks about it. I've met so many undergrounds. You know what? I got an appointment tonight to meet a brotherhood, underground, transgenerational, Satanist, multiplicity, all the rest of it there, out of PA, German background, Nazi background. It's all going to be there. I've already met that person once. The demons are there inside. So many of them. And some of those that are listening right now, oh, you got power demons. You believe. You know what? That's because all you've ever seen is the demonic side. They blind you from ever getting close to the manifested presence, power, and authority of Christ. But I've been through too many encounters, deliverance sessions. Matter of fact, one of the major things that have caused demonized programs, subpersonalities, totally luciferically committed, was a power encounter, where they saw that the authority of Christ decimated their power demons. When they've gone back to their covens and showed back up and said, "What have you been doing these last 3 weeks? Have you been doing that spiritual warfare, Russ?" Smiling inside. I said, "Why?" They said, "Because we can't, in the last 3 weeks, seem to get any demons to show up." They wanted them to. There's no doubt they went back to that coven to summon demons and send them after us. But because we knew where and what they were doing, you know what we did? We targeted them. Targeted the demonic realm. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Destroy. Lord, stretch out your hand and destroy the demons working there. Lord, stretch out your hands in my city and where those covens are and where they're really doing the stuff. And Lord, stretch out your hands and attack the demons. By the authority of Christ, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. You know, we need to be praying and thundering our prayers, not only the intercession for the advancement of the cause of Christ, saving as many as possible, seeing the body of Christ protected, preserved, sanctified, and growing and powerful, seeing believers that have wandered away or grown cold returned. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who do not go after their own sheep. It says that there in Ezekiel somewhere, doesn't it? A lot of, you know what I would say? Half the body of Christ in America, I don't know about you guys in Europe, it's possible that half the body of Christ doesn't even show up to gather. That's a sign of defeat. It's one thing to be bugged with conglomerate, dead, Sardis, Laodicean type stuff. But God didn't call me just to be out there screaming rhetoric and doing nothing about it. See, I've experienced the power, the sudden striking power of revival when the Spirit of God falls. Just like Acts chapter 4. And the entire congregation is struck, and for hours bathed in the convicting, convincing, all-striking, holy, powerful presence of God, leading in repentance, cleansing, leading in healing and relationship, and bringing us back to spiritual depth, to Jesus Christ, living Savior, to spiritual power, no longer quenching the Holy Spirit's fire upon us, no longer grieving on the inside, Ephesians 4, by the activities of bitterness and anger and rage and all those things. Don't let the devil outwit you in these days. Alert, 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 impending danger on a personal level. But because of the world and the signs of the end of the age includes many will be pushed into growing cold. That's a warning. It doesn't mean you have to. It's just saying what some, you know, that there will be those that do. Because of the increase of wickedness, instead, you can decide to become more powerful. Instead, you can decide to become a person that does something about it. And you're going to need the power of the Spirit of God. You're going to need to know Ephesians or Hebrews chapter 4, the power of the Word of God. You're going to need to know the power of prayer, James chapter 5, to be able to pray just like Elijah did. You want to be as powerful in prayer as Elijah? The Greek word kathos is used there. It is a word that means we are just like Elijah. You want to be powerful in prayer? The righteous believer. The believer walking in Christ. I mean, in spiritual depth and in spiritual power, you're not grieving the Spirit. You're allowing Him to fill you and flow through you to where the people around you can feel God's hand on, in, and through you. There is grace, there is love, there is peace. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is not only what you get to feel on the inside, but emanates from your life. So, my dear, listen, brother and sisters in Christ, let me tell you this. Grow in your depth and ability to worship every day. You know, praising God, taking the Psalms, taking hymns, taking spiritual songs, lifting them up in the power of the Spirit of God, overflowing with thanksgiving. That brings great experience of the presence of God and shielding in your life. God inhabits by manifest presence the praises of His people. Let me tell you to pray in the power of the Spirit of God. Let me tell you to, be in that consistent, deep, deep study of the Word of God so you can use it. You and I as believers, we're either filled with the Holy Spirit and power, clothed, and we know it, and those around us know it, or we're not. What's clogging the pipe? Now, because we've got 11 minutes, and I'm really wanting to look at this tonight, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians 2:14. Every believer can grow and needs to in spiritual depth with Christ being the center. Our experiential walk with our Savior. B, spiritual power in the Spirit of the Lord, in the Word of God, in prayer, in worship, in witness, in warfare. The power of God is to be unleashed in every way. But what about spiritual influence? And you know, we think sometimes that we can only have spiritual influence if we're around maybe we're in the middle of a congregation. Wow, what a service. And there's 500 people there, and they're worshiping, and they're praying, and it's a great service. It lasts for 2 hours and so forth. And you talk about how good it was. Well, that's good. Where did it lead you? A lot of believers go and have meetings like, you know, awesome meetings where God intends to build you up. And then we all go back and we all get silent. I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to hope that you're going to read it later. This is out of 2 Corinthians 2:14. Might be a good verse to memorize. Let me read it this way. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Can I read it again? Go a little slower. Give a little bit of the words. Now here it says again. Now thanks be unto God. Again, who always causes or leads. Now this word here leads into triumphal procession. The idea of a victory procession. The old idea that after armies have won and they're coming in with this massive victory celebration. The idea, you know, if you've seen it in New York, you know, and the soldiers had come home and the confetti's going down and they're cheering. Years and years and years ago in the 90s, I was watching the Green Bay Packers and they beat New England, by the way, in the Super Bowl. Reggie White, a strong believer in Christ, took a hold of the Lombardi Trophy, held it up high and ran around the field, lifting it up to the fans as they cheered. Everybody was cheering. They were in triumphal procession. They were in a victory procession. And that's just football. Here is where we're saying that God is able always. And that's why he begins. You know, and Paul's been through many experiences. I mean, he's been beaten up. He's been left. He's been put in prison. He's been chased out of town. He was put into a bucket, lowered out of the city and sent on because of a death threat. Look how his life wasn't thrust into sheer silence. All of it didn't silence him. Matter of fact, it might have made his life louder. It might have made his Christ-like life and Christ-oriented mission louder. Everything you've been through, if you're willing and you're yielded to Christ and you're wanting to do all you can for Him, can make your life impenetrable, unstoppable. I read in the book of Acts 5:42. The evidence of this in the growing believers and in their mission, even with opposition, they stayed in obedience to Christ, and the testimony reads this. They never stopped. They never stopped. They never stopped. They never stopped. They never stopped preaching and teaching that Jesus was the Christ, going from house to house and in the temple courts. You read it out. Acts 5:42. Is that the testimony of the body of Christ, of a believer, of a church? Here, now, thanks to God who always leads us into a procession of victory, of triumph in Christ. And listen to the rest of this. And causes the manifestation, that is phanerou, that Christ and His presence and the knowledge of God and the witness of the gospel is brought through us, His presence and His words and His works brought through us in such a way that it becomes literally an aroma. A fragrance. You ever walk by a house somewhere and all of it, you smell the flowers? You walk into a store somewhere and you smell flowers. A smell. It's osme. Osme. Just simply the smell of, it's the idea of the pungent, manifest, sensed love of God, love of Christ, grace, kindness of God. God is able, as you obey Him, as you walk, as you grow, to make your life a powerful spiritual influence wherever you go. Let me read it again. I hope you'll memorize it. But thanks be to God who always, see the words, slow down, always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us, that's that idea of manifestation, spreads everywhere we go the fragrance of the knowledge of Him, of Christ. Everywhere you go, walk into work, walk into that person's home, as we did in the walk into that. They knew who we were walking in to that biker metalhead bar. You know, the demonized, you know, for someone like that, they're going to know who you are. It can lead right into a deliverance encounter and the salvation of a soul. Listen, God intends that His people be filled to the measure of the fullness of God, and in your constant obedience, constant development in depth, in power, and in influence, gaining ground. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to be times you don't even know that just walking into your workplace, walking into the school, walking into that apartment complex, walking into that store, someone senses godlike hope, godlike love, godlike presence within you because the manifest presence of the Savior, Christ. Now, I've got about 2 or 3 minutes left tonight, much more to say concerning all of this. But let me reiterate again this week, alert, being watchful, and we're told, Colossians 4:2, devoted to prayer, continuous praying, powerful prayer life. In the context of that praying life, watching for the impending danger. Personally, your family, your church, your neighborhood, your nation, the world, and all the things that are coming. So that you can respond and begin to say, look, and point to Christ. Point to the answer. Unleash prayers for healing. The authoritative prayers against the dark side. Seeing God's giftings work through you. But as you walk in Christ in obedience, never growing cold, don't let it happen. Don't do it. Don't have to. You grip Christ. His word, His spirit, you stand up. And with every ounce of your God-empowered will, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, you blaze for Christ. Now watch out, don't save yourself. That's part of the issue of Matthew 24 and all the impending dangers that are coming to the world and the possibilities of being thrust into being cold because of the wickedness and the lawlessness and the evil. Don't let it overtake you. You be the one with influence. You be the one that emanates and manifests the power, the presence, the might, the saving of grace of God. We're at the end of the hour. This is Russ Dizdar. Listen, we want you to know we love you and we are praying. You keep us in prayer. We need your support. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the website. God bless you.